Okay. Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today is Tuesday, February 25th, 2014. My name is Sally Baptist. Thank you for tuning in to this week's edition of American Freedom Watch Radio with Karen Schoen and John Estabrook. Got a couple of updates here. I'm not going to do too much ranting, just a little maybe. I can hear John chuckling in the background on me saying that. Just to let you know, next Monday's show.
It's always good, Sally.
Next Monday's show is going to be about transportation, and I'm calling it the Great American Highway Robbery, or I should say Highway Heist, where we're going to get into what is really going on with transportation here in Florida. Some of the stuff I've recently came across because of the Orlando-Orange County Expressway Authority culture of corruption once again, where they're changing their director, the director again. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And some of the other things that I have found, we're going to really get into it. And I'm going to be sharing this information with some representatives and say, is this really okay? Is this not a conflict of interest? What happened on this land deal here? It doubled in price? Yeah, you know, it's all very interesting. So please tune in, and we're going to talk about why the highways of Florida are hosed up and who is really getting, who's paying the price for it. So tune in on that, that show on Monday. And then a week from Monday, on the 10th, it's actually a couple days after the Alamo thing, but it's actually between different battles that were going on at that time. So we're going to be doing Remember the Alamo. We're going to talk about the real history. And Tom Pastore, he comes on and he talks about this. He gets so frustrated, and I agree with him. We're out there celebrating Cinco de Mayo, which killed Americans, but they don't want to recognize or remember the Alamo. It's just amazing how we you know, and this is good old Marco Rubio out there doing what he can to prop up the Latino community and reject the American community. But the history is just totally hosed up in the way we've taught it out there, and we seem to want to reward and recognize how the Mexicans killed the Americans, which is what the Cinco de Mayo celebration truly is. It's just kind of sick the way it all plays out. So that's going to be a week from this Monday. So those two shows, definitely want to have you tune in. And Neil Rice is on right now. Neil, you know, do we have a candidate lined up for Thursday's show, or do you know yet? I think we're still working on that.
Yeah, no, she's still working on that right now. I'm not sure. There's a couple of people in mind, so she's trying to make a contact. So it's going to take another day or so.
Okay, well, that's okay. Then Thursday show, we're focusing on the elections and trying to get the candidates. And I also know we are trying to get Adrian Wiley on the show, so I really want to have him come on because he is truly the solution against Rick Scott and Charlie Crist. It's like, oh, my dear Lord, please don't let either one of those guys end up being governor again. I don't want to talk about it. Depressed. So on that note, Karen is not here yet. She'll be joining us a few minutes, I believe. But John is here. So,
yes.
John, why don't you go ahead and get us kicked off?
All right. And I just wanted to, you know, thank you, Sally. I always enjoy your rants. And thank you for the information on the upcoming shows. That'll be useful to everybody. And welcome, everybody, to American Freedom Watch Radio. And I am your host for this first hour, John Estabrook. And have Ms. Neil Rice with me this evening. And we're coming to you live on Blog Talk Radio, American Statesman. And we are rebroadcast on Red State Talk Radio every Wednesday at noon and Sunday at midnight. And like Sally said, Karen will join us a little later. She is out doing her American civic duty and has taken on the arduous task of running for office. And so she is busy with a campaign engagement, and I'll tell you what, I'm so proud of her, and we have to stand up as Americans and make this effort, and everyone that can should run, especially if you live in a district or you live in a community that you've got people that are continually running unopposed. We have to stand up and we have to reclaim this nation. And with that said, This evening, we are in our second hour. We've got a lady that's going to come on, Miss Stephanie Austin, and we're going to speak about property rights and regionalism. And I thought that I would tie all that in. There are things in our American lexicon. You know, this nation did not happen by happenstance. It was designed. Our Constitution was designed. And it was designed to give the American people freedom and liberty. And there are principles that our founding fathers said that we must live by as a nation. There are things that each and every one of us need to understand. What are the principles that these men that are tyrants and women that are tyrants that are running this nation are doing against these sound principles of liberty? Hey, I apologize, too, before I get started on the background noise. I'm on a drilling rig about 110 miles offshore, and we've got an intercom system, so if that background noise interferes with the show, I want to apologize up front. But I wanted to cover the 28 principles of liberty tonight, and we can, as we go through the list, because I don't know how many people have ever taken the time to really research and see what these principles are. The first principle, the only reliable basis for sound government and just human relations is natural law. Now, what is natural law? You know, and I guess that's out of that first principle, the one thing that has to be clear to every American is natural law says that our Creator gave us and created all of us with equality. We're all made alike. We're all humans, and that is one of the soundest things about our Constitution. Every American is guaranteed equal opportunity. We're not guaranteed equal success, but we are guaranteed equal opportunity. And natural law says that I will do no harm to another human, that I will do no harm to my neighbor. So if we live by natural laws and the principles of God, our Creator, then we can have sound government. Number two, a free people cannot survive under a Republican Constitution unless they remain virtuous and morally strong. Now think about that, and think about our nation today, and where are we in regard to maintaining a virtuous and morally strong society? I guess that when we look at the corruption in just government alone, we don't have to, turn on the nightly news to see the brutality of human existence in America. I know just here last 2 weeks ago in Louisiana, there was a man that was set free, or not set free, but given he pleaded insanity, and he had a good attorney, and this is a man that chopped his child's head off. Now, when you speak about a virtuous society and a morally strong society, that says that we know what is right and wrong, and we hold each other accountable to some type of standard. In this nation, we're not doing that. It's okay for Barack Obama, the president of our nation, to stand and tell every American a lie to get elected. And we know it. We have watched it endlessly in the media. A man, our president, our leader of our nation, lie to every American citizen. And not just on Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act. This is a man whose administration is morally corrupt. And we know all of the things that they've done. You know, we've had Americans killed and murdered in Benghazi. And to avoid any kind of chaos with his political campaign, our president chooses to spin it that some American YouTube video clip caused the outrage and the riot that killed our men in Benghazi. What a lie. And then Hillary Clinton. What does it matter? It matters, Hillary. Those are Americans, Americans serving under the American flag, and you allowed them to be murdered and butchered by terrorists. It was a terrorist attack, but it did not serve Barack's political campaign. Number three, the most promising method of securing a virtuous and morally stable people is to elect virtuous leaders. How well are we doing tonight, America? How well have we done and how well have we performed our civic duty in electing virtuous leaders? Would you consider Barack Obama a virtuous leader? Would you think that would you think that John Boehner, would you think that Nancy, you got to read it, Pelosi is a virtuous leader? You know, let's see, I think in Louisiana I can remember William Jefferson had a freezer full of $100 bills. Would you consider him a virtuous, you know, Mayor Ray Nagin, who was the mayor of New Orleans during the Katrina hurricane, and all of his outrage at the federal government letting his people down, is indicted now and going to serve a lot of jail time. We have an ex-governor here in Louisiana who just served 8 years in prison, and now he announced the other day that he would like to run for office Governor Edwin Edwards, 8-year con. And he announced the other day that he's considering a congressional run. He can't run in any state office. He can't hold any state office. But guess what? It's okay for him to hold a federal office.
Oh,
America, we've got to get it right. That's outrageous, huh?
It's unbelievable.
It's outrageous. Yeah, yeah. So principle number four.
His mom must be so proud.
Governor Edwards' mom been a long gone. Edwards is up in his 80s, and I think he's married to a 30-year-old guy. He's always been a womanizer, a gambler, and he's openly, you know, he challenged the federal courts and everyone inside of the Justice Department to catch him if they could, and they finally got him. It took him I guess it was 2 decades to finally catch the guy, but when they got him, you know, they got him because his son's greed. And everybody in Louisiana knows the story, and I promise you, if the guy could run for office in Louisiana, there are places in Louisiana where the people are ignorant enough to where they would vote for him and reelect him.
Yeah.
You know, that's sad, and that's why the principle is in place. The fourth principle, without religion, the government of a free people cannot be maintained. Now, remember back when Madeleine Murray, a little woman, walked into our Supreme Court with her little atheist child, and she started the downfall of religion in our schools and removing religion from education. But without religion, the government of a free people cannot be maintained. And where are we in America today? Where are our religious leaders demanding? No, I will not remove the Ten Commandments from this courthouse. This is a courthouse paid for by the people, by the citizens. Where were our courts? You know, so we've got issues, and it's because we have drifted from the principles of liberty and freedom. Number five. All things were created by God. Therefore, upon him all mankind are equally dependent, and to him they are equally responsible. And we openly now have members of our Congress and our Senate who openly admit to their atheism, they have no belief in God, and they choose and they pursue every attempt and effort to remove our rights as American citizens to respect our God. They don't view social justice as not natural law. Social justice says that I've got a group of people here who I want to issue rights above everyone else's rights. And think about how many times that becomes true. They're not criminal immigrants. They're not invaders. You know, and think about that in the Immigration Act. You know, when we listen to everything that's taking place about the poor little immigrants or the, let's say, undocumented workers. You know, why are they described and why are we changing the name of who these people are? They're people that have no respect for our sovereignty, no respect for our nation, and then we're going to describe them as something that makes it palatable to the atheist, to the people that wish to remove God from everything in our lives. Number six principle, all men are created equal. So that means that if John breaks the law, John does the time. Well, if the illegal immigrant breaks the law, shouldn't he be responsible to do the time? Shouldn't he or she be responsible to do the time for breaking the law and committing a crime? And how many times, you know, we watched, everyone I know watched the O.J. trial, and we all with great conviction understood that here's a man that murdered these two people. But because he was a man of wealth, the justice system would not convict him. Was O.J. equal? Was he was created equal, but our justice system mirrored and skewed it, and then here O.J. walked away. And how many times does that happen? You know, we see it, and we know about it in our small communities where here's the guy that's got some money, and he's able to afford a better attorney than John or Sally or Neil. So he gets a pass. He gets a buy. But because John and Sally are just average Joes working, we can punish them, and we'll make them pay the price for their crime. But then you hear of the corruption inside the system. Well, let's hide that. Let's make this go away, and it goes away. And that's the way our government is functioning. We're not all created equal under the form of government that we have now, the communist form of government that we're living under. Number seven, and boy, I'll tell you what, the proper role of government is to protect equal rights, not provide equal rights.
Thank you.
And do you feel like your rights are being protected? What did you say, Neil?
I said thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's huge in my opinion, because our representatives at every level of government, I would say, and I'm being very honest, 80% of them need to be in jail.
Yeah, Neil, I mean, that's the fact. I mean, we know there's things that you and I, and that's why this show continues, you know, we do it every week, is, you know, American Freedom Watch. We're attempting to watch out for not only our freedom, but the citizen, you know, our citizens, our fellow citizens, Americans, you know, not Republicans, not Democrats, not any race or anything, just what freedoms are being taken from us by these corrupt, immoral leaders that have gained nothing but power, who seek election only for power, only for greed. You know, they're owned and in the corporate back pocket, and corporations are viewed far above any citizen's needs. So, you know, I guess our founders really didn't even understand where I'm sure that Jefferson and Washington could have never envisioned where we are today.
No.
All right, number eight. Men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And I often hear people pronounce that unalienable, unalienable. That means that when you walk in, I mean, I've got my right, and one of them, you know, that my Creator says, you know, what is it that our Creator gives us? You know, now with under Obamacare, I have a mind. I have a pretty fair one. And I have the freedom of choice. I can choose a doctor for myself. I can choose because my Creator gave me this mind. You know, it's not John. I mean, every one of us are born with God-given freedoms that say make your choices as long as you do no harm. But now we have government intervention who says, nope, John, Neil, Sally, you guys aren't capable of thinking for yourselves. You're not capable of owning property. You're not capable of maintaining that property to the standards that we see fit. Well, wait a while. It was created by God for me to exist.
Well, I mean, sorry to interrupt you, but I was just saying, isn't that exactly what their public education is doing to us, converting us into a bunch of serfs?
Yes.
Kind of
yep, absolutely. Absolutely, and it's amazing. It's astounding that I don't know how we tolerate it, huh? And I think that's it. You know, we don't accept it. We just are tolerable people at this time, and I don't know how much longer that can how much longer we can do that, or you know, what would our founders have done at this point? To protect man's rights, God has revealed certain principles of divine law. Let's see, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not lie, honor thy mother and thy father, you know, the Ten Commandments. Those are divine laws. Those are God's laws. You know, and just think how well it would work for Barack Obama, this administration, this Congress, if they, you know, we watch them destroy our Constitution on a daily basis. But how many times on a daily basis do they break God's divine laws? How many times do they break our commandments? You know, you and I can live to be and hope to be virtuous, moral people and to hold ourselves to a high standard. But then let's see what Mr. Bill Clinton, how was his, would you say that Billy might have broke a few commandments with Monica? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm just a little bit harsh on Billy. I'm not going to judge you. That's not my job.
Oh, no, please do.
Well, and then, you know, when we go ahead, what was that, Sally?
Isn't that what the Oval Office was for?
Exactly. All right,
Isn't
number 11. This is a good one, too, boy. The majority of the people may alter or abolish a government which has become tyrannical. Wow, an out card. So we do have power. They just don't know it, you know, and it was given to us, you know, I mean, years and years ago by some pretty thoughtful guys that said, look, there's a possibility you're going to get some dummies running the show who are going to become tyrannical, so we're going to give you the people. The people may alter or abolish a government which has become tyrannical. Wow, what a principle. Principle of liberty. The United States of America shall be a republic. Wait a while. Let me get this straight. Because I just heard my senator the other day tell me that the democracy was thriving. Let's see, George and Thomas and Mr. Benjamin Franklin and Madison, Adams, they made a decision that the United States of America shall be a republic. And for all of the listeners who may not be clear about the difference between a republic and a democracy, a republic is a representative form of government that serves the citizen, the people, not vice versa. We don't work for them. They work for us at our behest as we choose. We've done a sorry job of electing them, and we're going to overcome that just like we did in 2010. We're going to step up in 2014, and we're going to start this effort to reclaim our republic that we're guaranteed. 13. Let's see, is this a lucky 13? A constitution should be structured to permanently protect the people from the human frailties of their rulers. Human frailties. How does that play in today's role of the federal government and how they see themselves as our rulers? You know, it is amazing.
It's a trick question.
Yeah, well, no, but isn't it amazing that when you think back to our founders that they had enough knowledge of the human existence and the human history and how well they studied? Because, you know, I know that that's why Jefferson was sent to France. It wasn't a mistake that they sent Thomas Jefferson away while they were writing the Constitution, because he was sent away intentionally so that he could go to Europe where all of the vast knowledge was, and he could travel to Spain, and he could go into the libraries of every nation, and he could seek and look for what form of government would best protect the people against the frailties of their rulers. Wow, and they got it right, huh? and they issued a document that we have allowed to be broken by tyrants. And these people are tyrants, make no mistake. And they do view themselves as rulers. We're going to tell you what you'll do for health care. We're going to tell you what you can drive, what you can't drive. We're going to tell you what fuel you can burn, what fuel you can't burn. We're going to tell you that you're going to need to change this power over that power. Your natural resources are not yours. This land is not yours. We're going to claim those lands, and we're going to make them nationalized lands. Then we're going to step in, and we're going to take your babies from you, your children, because we're going to go into the classrooms across this entire nation, and we're going to indoctrinate your babies as we see fit, because you are not smart enough or intelligent enough as American citizens to have your children follow us as rulers. So we're going to indoctrinate the little workers so that they'll do what we choose. Common Core. Common Core is that is the evil. That's what it's about. And it's rulers that have selected this for us. We didn't have a say in it. We're not getting a say. I promise you, in Florida, what's happening in Florida, what's happening in Louisiana and across this nation and every state, the people didn't have a voice in. We don't have a voice. The representative government is dead. It's been gone, and we allowed it to die. And we have to stand now. 2014 is another opportunity to elect a handful more. I don't care if we elect a handful. This has to be, the communists have taken 100 years to get us to this point.
John,
so if we as Americans are not willing to do 100 years, then shame on us.
And a couple of really good points, and a couple of real good points to follow up on that, and then we do have our guest. Thomas Jefferson, he was very much pro-term limits. We should have done that. And today, here we've got a hospital in Boston who kidnaps a child from the parents, and in Florida, a court that rules, based on international law, not the laws of America, but international law, that a citizen cannot live off the grid in their own private home. This is where we are today, and we want to talk about what the Founding Fathers tried to protect us from. We're here, and we have to do something about it. I had to kind of get that in for some of the things you were talking about, but we do have our guest here as well. So any final words you might want to say on that as we bring our guest online?
Shoot, man. Let's go ahead and bring our guest online, because I'm going to wrap up. I'm going to get down to a principle that I'm certain that she'll be able to speak with. Stephanie, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, Stephanie.
Well, Stephanie, this is John Estabrooks, and I haven't had the privilege to speak with you, but if you would you share with our listeners everything about Stephanie Austin so that we can...
Sure. Well, I'm kind of new to this whole world of politics and regional planning, all the rest of it. My awakening was the smart meter, and I kind of thought, okay, this is a great new device. It's going to help me save money. But I kept running into this thing called Agenda 21, and I have not stopped reading for 2 years.
Yes, ma'am. And I'm going to tell you, Agenda 21 is the evil that everything it leads from and to. I mean, anything that we watch Barack and this Congress and Senate do, it all ties in to global governance, and that direction is where they've taken this nation, and they don't hide it from us. It is what they're bringing us. It's what they're giving us, and it's by their design, and it's a shame. So you are battling... And how did the meter battle go?
Oh, my goodness. Well, currently right now with the smart meter, we have filed a formal protest with the Florida Public Service Commission, and it's kind of just sitting up there in Tallahassee, probably won't be decided upon for several months yet. But I tell you, it led me into Agenda 21 and regionalism, and I heard, let's see, it was about almost two years ago now, I heard that there was a charrette coming to town, and it just had all the ringings, it just looked like Agenda 21 to me, and sure enough, it was. They were having what they call a visioning session in our county. I quick called up several friends. I called up a whole house full of friends, and two of them showed up, One of them was Phyllis Fry, who is the chairman of our group, American Coalition for Property Rights. We are a nonpartisan educational group that has grown and grown and grown beyond imagination. But we've had great success with eliminating regionalism. It's not over yet. We found out that at the day of our charrette, the visioning meeting, that they had got a plan going here for seven counties. 750 stands for seven counties, 50 years. It's from Monroe County, which is Key West, up to Indian River County, which is where I am. And we are just south of, for those of who are listening out of state, we are just south of Melbourne, Florida, which is not too far from Orlando. And we pitched such a fit that about being in this regional plan that they offered for us to join the Orlando region. And I'll get into that later, too. But in my county, I would say there was probably about 25 of us that showed up on the day of the charrette, but we found out that most of the people that were attending were plants. They were from the regional water district. They were from the Metropolitan Planning Organization. They were from EPA. They were from all over. But it was just a day of glory, really, when we had our question and answer session. Things got a little heated, and we really let them know that we weren't going to have this in our county. We were the first county to leave the regional plan, first county in Florida, actually. In fact, one of the first in the South. We've heard there were some counties in the Carolinas that have left their regional plan, which I was happy to hear about. I think some in Alabama, too. But
Alabama is, I think, the entire state. Legislators. Alabama has really done a great job at rooting it out, and it took, I want to say there was four guys that were congressional leaders in Alabama that were willing to listen to moms, you know, when moms in just their constituents came to them and revealed Agenda 21 to them, and these guys were willing to do the right thing and to do their own homework and do their own research, well, then they took off like a wildfire. And once they revealed it to the other congressional, they were willing. They were not so far corrupted as Florida, Louisiana, and a lot of us. You know, we're fighting this stuff because guess what? Our state legislators have bought into it or profiting from it, and that's the shame of it. That's the sad part. You know, and I don't know whether you were listening as I was going down through the principles of liberty, but one of the principles of liberty that was given to us, life and liberty are secure only so long as the right of property is secure.
Absolutely.
And that's what Agenda 21 is. It's the removal of all private property rights from every human on the planet. Not just Americans. That's the one evil thing, you know. America is the last bastion of resistance, and we're really not doing a very fair job. You know, we're starting to see some of our brothers in the Ukraine stand up and tell them, because let me tell you, regionalism, let me give you a definition of regionalism that is really simple. It's communism. And it comes from the Soviet, you know. I mean, so when you say regionalism, just go ahead and in the next breath, the next sentence, every time, rather than refer to it as regionalism, say this communism that you're bringing us, you know. And I guess the plants at that meeting, you know, when I listened to you go down the list of the plants, were they listed as stakeholders?
You know, they kind of really didn't. We did hear that word, but it was such a contentious meeting. I think those people wish they had never come. We were Delphite. I will say that they would not answer our question. We sat there.
And isn't that a pleasant deal, huh? And everybody that's listening, they should. Delphi can't, you know, unless, because I think that's something where we need to stop and let the listeners understand. They can go, you can go on to YouTube, and I know everyone, I mean, if you're listening to the show online, surely you can type in YouTube and just go and type in Adelphi, and look up Delphi meetings and just view a couple of the, because there's a handful of YouTube videos on there, so that you can understand Delphi, and then you can go in and you can just Google Delphi, and boy, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be opened up to what these planning sessions are all about and what they're going to look like, and I can tell you before I walk into one exactly what's going to take place and what the outcome is going to be, because it was already predetermined, and they really are only doing it for a show. It's all a little charade so that they can say, well, we did have the citizens involved, and we did have citizen input. BS, bull crap, it's a communist move to remove private property rights, regionalism.
Well, you know, if you look up the definition of a Soviet, it is a system of councils that report to an apex council to implement a predetermined outcome. And that's exactly what it's all about. But
and you know, when we say that too, then let's go ahead and let's make sure that we understand the distinction about what these folks are going to give you. The regionalism is going to be a handful of administrators. Well, guess what you have when you have these administrators that are appointed, are not elected, so therefore they have removed your representative form of government. You have no one that you can say, well, look, you clown, I'm going to vote you out. I don't like the way you're doing it. I don't want to be, you know, so citizens' voice and representative government is lost. Communism. All right, go right ahead, dear.
Well, we were able to see that they were bypassing local government. They were given this $4.2 million to develop this, what they call a toolbox. And we figured it comes to us at about $14,000 a page. And it's quite benign, quite vague. But what we found out that when everybody looks at this, the commissioners and council people, they think, wow, this is harmless. This is really no big deal, because they talk about jobs creation for the arts. They talk about weight control and walkable cities. I mean, it goes on and on and on. They have lots of beautiful sketches and pictures of tourists with funny hats on, and it all looks very, very happy. But we're finding that it's the documents that surround these regional plans that are so, so very dangerous, that obligate each municipality. For example, we found out that, say, in St. Lucie County, very specific pieces of land, tracts of land, were targeted, and they called them priority development areas, or in California they have a lot of priority conservation areas that are targeted. It doesn't matter if you live there. But we found out places like developments called Tradition, which is a nice upscale community where they want to do high-density housing, or the PGA Village. But nobody told the community that these areas were targeted. So, you know, it's the surrounding documents. For those people who are looking into this, look at every single document that surrounds that regional plan that has been developed for thousands or for millions of dollars. But we had to do a lot of work. We just banded together with a large group of people from other counties. Some of us are Tea Party people, some of us aren't. We even found that the Democrats were coming out, people with the independents were coming out. It was all walks of life. It's a nonpartisan issue. The environmentalists were coming out, and that we really found to be, that was enlightening to me, because really it uses environmentalism as a vehicle for implementation.
Yes.
And of course, it's all voluntary, they tell you. This is just voluntary. It's your county can opt out at any time.
Yeah.
Incrementally.
Well, I mean, and let me tell you something. See, they paint it as something that anyone should be able to support. This is protection of your natural resources. You know, so then that's supposed to make the environmentalist feel real nice and warm and cozy. But when they, you know, this is going to be economic development. We're going to bring and create jobs. But you know, we have to understand, and just like you said, get the documents, because when you look at what they're willing to do to accomplish this, and whose property that they're going to seize, that they're going to take, and it's happening in every state. It's taking place, and people are battling this, and thank God you're battling it and having some success in your county. But, I mean, we have to conquer this state by state, you know,
yes.
Because regionalism is communism, and we know the root, we know the core, we know who, you know, the United Nations and the money, the carrot. When you said the dollar amount a while ago, that's one of the things. You know, there's so many key things, Delphi, that they use every time when they do these planning sessions and they present these regional goals. And then there's another common thing is 50 years out, you know. They'll have master plans, you know, the master plan for your life. And it's 50 years away. Well, I'm 60 years old, and 50 years from now, I'm not going to be here. But I am concerned enough to understand that you're not going to take and sell my grandbabies into some kind of slavery that where they will never be able to own a piece of property, that you're going to own, control, and operate all the property to your design, and my children will just inhabit the piece of the earth that you give them. That's not acceptable to John, and I don't care what it does for your planters. And, you know, there's so much to it that when the American people in every city, every county, because trust me, if you've got a county government, they are involved in this. They've got planners that are working inside those offices that are going to continue to push regionalism. It is right in our doorstep.
John,
absolutely.
Can I jump in here for a minute? Hi, Stephanie.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is, thanks.
Hi there.
Stephanie, hi. This is Neil Rice from Taylor County, Florida. And what you're talking on regionalism, I have just finished probably 12 or 15 articles. And I did this on a entire state portion of it, and then I broke it up, like in the panhandle. I just finished one on Indian River.
I love it.
I did one over on Sarasota. And this all comes from my Florida website, the priority list that you're talking about. And our governor, Rick Scott, and his cabinet with these 10 members from all the corrupt organizations that are doing this, sit on this board, Acquisition and Restoration Council, and they are doing the voice of regionalism. Right now they are taking BP oil spill money with these environmentalists, Thousand Friends of Florida, the Audubon Society, and Nature Conservancy, Florida Forever, the Sahara Club. And what they are doing, they had a meeting with the Florida Association of Counties at every county in this state belongs to that needs to demand to get out.
Yes.
Had a meeting on how they were going to do planning to use tens of billions of dollars from BP to do regionalism.
Mm-mm.
I'm in Taylor County, like I said. I am with 9 other counties. 2 of them cross the state Georgia border, and it is our region tomorrow. There is not a county right now today, even though you think you're out of it, you are in a regional plan.
It's true. It's true. It's a very stealth operation. Well, currently, in our region, the 750 region, with 7 counties, we have 3 counties that have opted out. Another strategy that we found out that they've done is that they have gone, 750 has gone and signed up many, many entities. They have signed up the school board, the local Indian River State College, which is in two counties. They have signed up the Metropolitan Planning Organization. They have signed up every little town. Well, we've told them, change your name, because now we've got St. Lucie County out, Martin County has voted out, and just last week it was Boca Raton voted to get out. And the city of Stewart a couple weeks before that, and many, we've got a couple other little small towns. We're currently going to the city of Sebastian and Palm Beach County Commission. The closer you get to Miami, the tougher it gets. But we're finding out that they're not wanting to change their name to Ford Nifty, which is very important to us. They've said as long as you have one entity in your county in the regional plan, we are not leaving.
That's right.
We are not leaving. They have
well,
been very
unfortunately, I don't know if you're aware of this because you're not far from Orlando, and of course you live in Florida, but the GOP just elected the new Senate president from Orlando, Andy Gardner, and they elected the new House Speaker, Steve Cusafelli. They are both advocates for regionalism. They are both advocates for the 25-point-some-million acres of bicycle paths in the state of Florida, for the greenways, the blueways, and this needs to be exposed. I did an article on it. I'm waiting for Karen to finish editing and to get this out. We will never see another decent bill come off that floor in Tallahassee. Never.
Yeah, this is snowballing.
These are conservative Republicans, people.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that's none of this is party. It is all communism, and it's all by design, and it's United Nations driven. And when we look at regional governance and how it emanates, and how did it get its roots here in America? And we got to go back, you know, for 200 years, you know, we maintained that our Congress controlled all of the trade agreements, and anything that took place with other foreign countries was all run. But now we turned loose over under the last few presidents this fast-tracking opportunity to where they could start to sign. Let's see, we got NAFTA, GATT, CAFTA, and they're working toward the Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement. You look at what happened in Europe, the European Union, the Euro. All of these things are regionalism on a global scale. So when they have us wrapped up fighting for our own little piece of the earth in our counties and our cities while they're selling out the whole. And that's my concern. They are selling out the sovereignty of America. They could care less about Florida. You can win victory in 50 counties in Florida, but if I sell it all out to the United Nations and I remove American sovereignty, national sovereignty, and I hand it over through foreign trade agreements to foreign nations, what have we accomplished? What have we gained? And let me tell you, it's both Republicans and Democrats. Every Republican president that signed a trade agreement was just as involved as Barack with his that he's chasing now. You know, look what Bush did. Look what Clinton did. This is an effort of the whole. That's why they're laughing at us. I think that in Washington, D.C., the power elite that are in bed with the global elite are sitting back and are probably thinking, these poor little Tea Party people, do they really think they have a chance when we've sold out the entire thing?
You know, I think if anything, if there's any advice I could tell people that are starting to investigate this in their own counties and maybe try to end it, I mean, I our greatest success has been not mentioning when we go to the counties and speak, or the city councils, wherever, not when we're amongst ourselves or having, you know, meetings with the public in general,
yeah,
but at the county commissions, we don't mention global warming or sea level rise. We don't mention Agenda 21 or Marxism. We just, there's enough to hate about regionalism without going there. We have found that has, when we have used that, it has led them to...
Soured.
Well, it's the old
conspiracy
theorists and, you know, it's
yeah,
the tinfoil hat folks and NIMBYs. And
yeah. Yeah, yeah, and let me tell you something. I have been fighting that same deal Stephanie, for I guess the last 4 years, to where I've had people ask me, you know, try to limit that, and when you go to speak, will you just stick to private property? Because there is enough there to battle and outrage people. I mean, people know what's being done to their private property rights, and you're right. If we maintain the conversation when we go in to battle them inside our communities in a format of an open meeting, yes, private property. Private property has to be the key that we use, but we have to know that, you know, the underlying deal is the reality is this is being done to America by outside interest and by the inside who have they're traitors. They have committed treason against our nation, and they'll be held accountable sooner or later, you know.
You know, it's sort of funny. Our regional council, when they began, they had a little slogan they put on their stationery and kind of went everywhere with them, and it was called Regionalism, One Neighborhood at a Time. Well, just recently they changed it to 750, Bringing Communities Together. But they're bringing it together on the high-speed rail that will be coming through our town.
At what kind of cost?
That's the
you know, one thing people need to realize, anyone that's listening this evening, and they need to keep this in mind and they need to look it up, regionalism is against our U.S. Constitution.
Absolutely.
Article 4, Section 4. So these people have committed treason. No matter what level of government they are at, they took an oath. But now we're looking into other things where, like in the state of Florida, even though this is against the U.S. Constitution, these regional councils are in our Florida statutes.
But, you know, I think
it's
a great gravy train for these people, a great retirement package. I mean, they'll do anything, you know, to protect their careers is what we're finding out.
It's organized greed. It's organized greed. That's what it is. That's what I call it.
Yeah.
We have, in our group, we do a lot of research, some very bright people in our group, but one of my recent assignments was to be studying the epicenter of all of this, which is San Francisco, the One Bay Plan. There are lots of great videos on One Bay for people who want to take a look at YouTube. But we found out there that they want to put 78% of the property, 78% of the population on 5% of the land. And I found that to be shocking. And that would be the equivalent to 100,000 people per square mile, which is a higher density than Manhattan or Hong Kong. And they want to densify every city. Like you said, they want us off the land. They want us out of our cars. Another thing they did in California, now we didn't see this so much in our plan, but at the 11th hour, they snuck in that vehicle miles travel tax. Theirs is quite a bit stronger than ours, yet they have, I mentioned four lawsuits, and there's one lawsuit that is by the environmentalists saying that the Plan Bay Area is, or plan, one, there's, it has two names, One Bay Area or Plan Bay Area. One group is saying that the plan didn't go far enough, but the other lawsuit is by, as you know, Michael Shaw and Freedom Advocates.
And
then the other one is Mimi Steele's group, which Pacific Legal Foundation is has just filed for, was I guess late summer, and they're filing based on the environmental violations of the plan, and Michael Shaw is filing on has filed on the constitutional aspect. So glad to see that happening.
Yeah, we've had Michael on with us before. He's
great.
Yeah, he is taking the, I guess, and he's offered more more workable advice and opinions than anyone that I've heard. I mean, he's right on the legal cusp of it and how you can legally battle it. And he's a great coach because there are things that we can do. We don't have to, you know, just totally give up. You know, while we're fighting the battle to reclaim offices and to turn around the Senate and the Congress by the power of the voting booth. We can take action to guard them and slow them, and that's the best hope that we have, is to stop where we can and slow them where we, you know, everywhere else. Yeah, but how many, you know, I guess right now my focus in Louisiana, because we've got the battle coming up on Common Core, and we're really, we just had a forum. I wasn't able to attend. I was offshore, but they had a great forum, and the citizens, just like the citizens when it comes time for regionalism and private property issues and parishes that we fought, when you confront a citizen with something that they know is wrong, and mamas and daddies understand Common Core is not the right thing for their children, and it wasn't done by anyone by design here, that it was just given to them by some outside source, well, it tends to get their backbone up, and then they take action. And that's what we have to hope, is that we continue to raise awareness, and that's what you're doing. I mean, we have to stay focused on heightening education and awareness to what's being done on all these levels.
We need people to meet with their legislators. We have gone behind the scenes, many people in our group, meeting with the council people, meeting with state representatives. Not all of them will see us. We've found that out. Every so often you get one or two that just will not look. But, you know, will not look any deeper. But that has been, I think, another key, is that we've tried our hardest to educate these various councils and MPOs and so forth. I'll give one example. St. Lucie County, we went there every other week for 6 months. And I am not joking. Other counties didn't take quite so long. But right now, tomorrow night, we're speaking at the Sebastian City Council, which is in Indian River County. And then March 11th, they'll be streaming live online. We'll be down at the Palm Beach County Commission. So people can pick up various tips there and see some of the strategies. But it's people from all walks of life have come out, and it's been a great community effort. We have had meetings in libraries. We go to homeowners associations. We go to PTA meetings. We go to church, pancake suppers. I mean,
sure.
Where there's a group,
and that's
find
what,
one
that's,
of us there.
Yeah, that's what we have to do. And you know, that is the power that we have to create. All right, Stephanie, Neil, and Sally, I'm going to take just a few minutes to identify who we are. This is American Freedom Watch Radio, and we're brought to you live on Blog Talk Radio, American Statesman. And we are rebroadcast on Red State Talk Radio every Wednesday at noon and Sunday at midnight. This show is for the citizens. It's for the people. It's for Americans. And all we hope to do is to share with you the truth as we know it, and to enlighten and hopefully inspire to action the citizens of America, because this is our nation. This is a civic duty that we have. And once you become enrolled into action, then it is a task that is sometimes it's overwhelming and it becomes daunting. But trust me, it is something that you, once you get a taste of it and you get your teeth in it, I guess, Neil, I know that where your heart is with it and how long you've done it, Sally, Stephanie, the one thing we all have in common is a desire to restore our nation to its greatness and to maintain the rights and the freedom and the liberty of every person in America.
And Karen is now with us. Hi there, everyone.
Hi,
very
Karen.
Very well said, guys.
Ah.
Yeah, you are terrific. I am enjoying listening. I don't get a chance to do that very often. I just came back from a meeting, and I wanted to share something with you that one of the people said. He said, I don't understand why, and maybe you can tell me, which I couldn't. Why does our government think that it's okay for them to sell parcels of America to foreign countries? This was coming out of the mouth. And this is, as we progress with this,
As we get more into it, as we understand it more, we have a large portion in Florida of foreign countries that are coming here with their foreign corporations, and our governor thinks it's wonderful that they should have land, that they should participate. We have Chinese communist Chinese charter schools. We have radical Islamic charter schools. So we have a lot of things that we have to pay attention to, and you're right, John, it's all focused on property rights. The one thing that I did realize, and we've been discussing this for quite some time, it's our states, because we the people are the sovereigns. We are the ones that allowed a government to exist, so therefore we are the creators of the government. And as a creator of the government was created by us. Well, we didn't give them power over us, but our silence is giving them power. And I think that one of the things I'm going to start incorporating as I'm talking now is the fact that does a potter give the clay pot the power because he created it? I don't think so. You know?
No.
It doesn't work that way. We are the sovereign. The individuals are the sovereign. And Neil is so right. These regional councils, they are totally, 100% unconstitutional. And we are forgetting a very important ruling, which was Marbury versus Madison, where the Supreme Court said, flat out, any federal or state law, statute, executive order, rule, regulation that is unconstitutional is void. And that's what Richard Fry said last week. So we don't have to claim that these laws, they have to be repealed. They're void to begin with. And how many people sadly know that? And I think that is a big problem, people not knowing and not understanding their rights. And when that happens, we lose them. And it's up to us, like groups like Stephanie. Don't give up. We can't give up.
I've been to many of these meetings now, and they're telling us who they are. You know, one commissioner recently said, we are here to bypass the public. They don't even hide it. It's not even a secret. You know, it's I want to just relate a quick experience that I had. I was at it was a joint meeting of the South Florida Regional Council and our Treasure Coast Council just before Christmas. And I drove down there 3 hours with our group. There were, I don't know, 12, 15 of us there. And, you know, these meetings are very lengthy. They went around the table. Almost nobody had read the plan. When it finally came time for public comment, I spoke on the topic of Plan Bay Area. I mean, what happens there will eventually be coming here. It's on the way. And I was asked to leave the podium. They told me this was an off-topic, direction here. And I had to step down. It was quite a shocking experience. I was speaking, strictly on the Plan Bay Area, which, it's all the same six HUD livability principles. How much more relevant could it be? But these meetings, people have got to get to them. They are an out-of-body experience at times. Ours are not even filmed, so we've been filming them. And Karen, I think I sent you a few videos today. You can see for yourself. They're telling us who they are.
That itself is. The retort on that is, that's nice of who you are, but who pays your salary?
Yeah, it's we the people.
We the people, So don't
tell
me
if people could take a look at YouTube, when Andres Duany, the father of new urbanism, spoke at a lecture there last May, his comments, there were gasps in the audience. I mean, he was saying things like, let's just get up. We need to stop having public meetings and just get on with it.
Yeah.
Or you for
the one
shocking. Fascism. Say what you like, but it's efficient.
Well, he was just over in Sarasota, and did a presentation over there on the same thing.
Ugh.
And there's
wow.
a video out on it. Oh, yeah.
He said the same thing?
I don't know if he said those same remarks, but he was over there presenting the same thing that he was trying to do in 750.
Yeah, they want to expedite all this.
Yep.
Right.
They want to get it in before the public catches on.
Yep, and the
right
DOT was there with them. And...
Well, we've got the high-speed rail coming in. They're showing the transit villages planned. They're not going in next year or next week, but they are coming. They're planned. They're laying the groundwork for so-called human settlements. And I have the map. I carry it around with me.
Did you ever see our map of Taylor County?
I did.
Our map shows them.
I did. That is devastating.
Isn't that
yes,
amazing? But yes. You guys need to be very careful along with all other Floridians come this 2014 session.
The
they
land
are
reps
going
are
to be doing landmark water control, and they have got their eye on you.
Yes.
You are going to
yeah.
be one of the biggest issues, Stephanie, in the state.
They want to do what's yeah. known as water farming, and water farming is not... It's not growing tomatoes in water. It is storage of water. And what we're concerned about is that a lot of these groves have become diseased, and that's the principal areas where they want to do all of this storage. Well, we've heard various attorney comments saying that how do we know that after these 5 or 10 year leases, is their property going to be returned to the owner or returned to the owner in the shape that it was given in. And, it could be that maybe the bald eagle is nesting there or the pink-legged frog or some such thing. We don't know
yeah.
under what circumstances these people possibly could lose their land. We're just beginning to look into this, but you're right. It's on the way. The land grabs are coming.
Yeah.
The
They're underway big time. I mean, that's the thing. They are taking people... Every single day in the United States of America, every single day, an American citizen is losing property, having their property taken from them each and every day in this nation. And I don't care what guys, whether it's cities, whether it's county, whether it's the state, if you look at the land grab, each and every day you can find a citizen in every state that is losing private property, their homes, eminent domain. This is a travesty to liberty
well,
and freedom.
One thing I'm very
it
concerned
about. Go ahead, Neil.
One thing I'm very concerned about to everybody that's listening and on this phone tonight, this BP oil spill, they
mm-hmm.
are doing a corridor all the way from Texas, all the way down across to the south end of Florida. This corridor goes inside the land at such a depth. In Florida, they've been working on this for some time now. Our governor just gave $3 billion to Tampa Bay, Sarasota, and Manatee Bay. But in Florida, it starts in the panhandle, comes all the way down the coast, the west coast, to the south, to the Everglades. It goes inland almost halfway in the middle of the state. It covers 21 counties. What happens to these people's property rights? It's called the Southwest Florida Conservation Corridor.
Yeah. I wanted to read
well,
something,
Neil. let me get the Louisiana Coastal Plan in there because that's
oh, yeah.
already been done and passed here in Louisiana. And let me tell you, Neil, it's the same thing. And when I asked point blank, and trust me, they didn't shy away from my in a public meeting. They did not shy away from telling me the truth because I asked that question. When you move 50 miles inland along the entire coast of Louisiana with your little coastal restoration and coastal protection plan, your master plan, what about the citizens that live along where these berms are going to be and south of these berms for 20 miles? What happens to these little towns and villages?
Exactly.
Well, some people will lose their property.
Neil discovered, and we discovered part of this plan, which is called the Northwest Florida Green Infrastructure Design. This is from 2011.
Oh,
this is a direct result of the Restore Act. It was put together by the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, by Florida Division of Forestry, and by West Florida Regional Planning Council. What I found most interesting was on page 30. They call these communities compact communities, and they call them compact containment unit. Imagine that. It says that they are going to improve our health by providing safe and attractive ways to get around on wheels, bikes, rollerblades, wheelchairs, or on foot. Notice.
Oh, Lord.
So when I went to one of the commissioners, I asked him for his car keys. I read this to him, and I said, what's missing? And he says, the automobile. And I said, fine, I guess I'll take your car keys and give you a bike. The county will save a fortune. Then they said mitigation of climate change by shopping, schools, and other services within easy walking distances, thereby reducing our dependency on vehicles. What are all the automakers going to do? What about the dealers? What about the service providers? What about the mechanics, the gas stations? I guess more jobs will be lost. The protection of our farmland by keeping the town in the town and the country in the country. However, they will establish and adhere to urban and rural containment boundaries. So what's in this boundary and what's out of this boundary? Well, if you're in the boundary, then you get all of the goods and services that are provided by these government agencies. However, if you are outside the boundary, you have limited service protection, no servicing above certain elevation or outside the containment boundary. This includes roads, sewer, water lines, fire protection, and policing. This is their own words. I could not believe it when I read it.
Sure.
And then they talk about densification. Well, coming from New York, I have to tell you that standing on a subway is not a joy. You are packed like a sardine. You are lucky. You have to hold on to your belongings because somebody will snatch them, and they do, or they're busy feeling you up or peeing someplace or barfing or sprawling and sleeping. This is what densification means. Also, they never tell you that in your densification programs, the diseases are higher, the theft and crime rate is higher, and densification requires more energy. Of course, it'll be less because they'll shut it off. So this is what these programs have. I'm going to send this to you, Stephanie, because I'm sure you'll find it in your program as well.
Well, you know, I'm an interior designer now for 20 years. I also taught public school for a while in Michigan. But I always look at the therapeutic environment and these tiny little apartments or whatever they call them, these human settlements, just don't sound therapeutic to me at all. Watching what's happening in California, they are presenting, you know, they have their architectural drawings, presenting them to the public. They're showing lush landscape, and maybe it's a four-story building. Well, the construction begins. It's turning out to have another story. Or the building is completed. There's barely any landscaping and no parking, and things seem to change. And it's not as you know, green and beautiful as the drawings. People are being slightly deceived. And we're also finding out that a lot of these apartments they're not affordable. They're not all supposed to be affordable housing. Well, that's not always the case. So it's kind of a basic.
Well, this is why they do these. Oh, I'm sorry. Stephanie,
no,
this is why they do these small parks.
Ones. Those ones that
Well, I mean, you know, when you talk about affordability, Stephanie, you've got to understand and just go to the logic of where this is going. It'll be real affordable when you when the government's providing it to you. I mean, it's not going to be, and that's the deal. They are stealing your wealth to accommodate the construction of it. And they're laughing at us.
And
as they steal our tax money and our dollars, these billionaires, why do you think the Federal Reserve is pumping $75 billion a month, $85 billion a month into the U.S. economy? They're accomplishing all these tasks right under our noses, and they're not caring about – they could care less about the affordability today, but when they come to pick you up and tell you, here is where you will live, Stephanie, it'll be comfortable. Nice government-provided housing. And you'll go to the little job or the design that they have for Stephanie and Stephanie's children. That's where this is going. Regionalism is communism. And if you want to understand communism, go back in history and look at the Soviet Union.
The other thing they tell you is that they want to eliminate sprawl and blight.
Yeah.
So I went and I looked it up, and what was sprawl and blight? Well, one of the reasons why I moved to Florida was that I didn't want to live on top of anybody anymore.
Yes.
I didn't want to hear the guy next door playing the drums or mom and dad yelling at their kids in the next house, because when I was living in New York, the house, you know, you were either in an apartment or you were in row houses that were attached on top of each other. And you move away so that you can have your own identifier. Well, sprawl means that it's not uniform. So if Neil's house is yellow and Bob's house is blue and John's house is orange and Stephanie's house is purple because they like it, and maybe Neil has a quarter of an acre and Stephanie has an acre and John has 3 acres, well, that's sprawl. That's
yes,
not acceptable.
That hurts the collective. One of the things we found out, we saw a tweet. I took a screenshot of it. It's so telling. But one of the planners tweeted out that 750 will steer where the next 3 million people coming to South Florida will live. Well, we found out that the population projections are not quite as great as what they have been espousing. And it's the same in California. They have overinflated the huge population explosion. So there's just kind of a smoke and mirrors, you know, it's a culture of emergency is what is appearing around here, at least in our region. But, that word regionalism has taken on a new meaning to me.
Well, did you know in 2006, our governor then, our great governor Jeb Bush, that's pushing Common Core, in 2006 was going across the state of Florida encouraging regionalism. Mm. This is the same man that's encouraging Common Core. I'd be very afraid.
Well, regionalism and Common Core go hand in hand because it's all about, and I'm all for, you know, everyone having equal footing in the schools. You know, I'm for fairness there, but it is about, like they say, robbing the suburbs to pay for the cities. That's, you know, it's redistribution, the whole thing. It's another huge aspect that is
well, and one other
up.
Way you can look at this, and I have thought about this many, many times, in getting the people off the open land and getting them confined, just think of the money that's going in their pockets.
Yes.
No more
it's
utility wires. No more roads. I mean, just imagine the money they will have then. And at the same time, we're going to be paying more for the little bit that's offered to us.
You know, that's another issue is street, or what they call complete streets or street calming. In California, they're taking out a lane here and there, painting it green, and that's for bicyclists only. Doing the same thing in Manhattan. Someone gave me a magazine that showed downtown Manhattan, one whole lane removed, only for bicyclists. So it's just And they're also grinding up roads. It's certain areas of Northern California, maybe even around the nation, I don't know yet, but they're grinding up roads in state parks. They want you out of there, off the land, you know, stay out.
Well, that's our Florida Department of Transportation, too. They have committed to fully fund the greenways in the state of Florida, and they are going to finish up these gaps in the next year or so that are bicycle paths that are have sections of them almost completed, and where they're not completed, they're going to guarantee they are. We have them going from Key West all the way up to the state of Georgia, and from there it goes up to Canada. Our Senate, new House Senate president that was just elected is setting aside $50 million to finish the gaps on the bicycle path from the Gulf of Mexico to the Atlantic coast. 275 miles of bicycle paths. I think we should dress up in these black hoods and have our running sneakers on and come out between the bushes and start robbing these people. Maybe that'll keep them off the bicycle paths.
I think we should go to, yeah, I think
it's a thought, ain't it,
Don? I think we should go to Tallahassee and demand that they turn in all of their car keys, and we should issue them
yeah.
bicycle.
Yeah,
we need to start protesting at these representatives'
yeah.
homes. Forget Tallahassee. You have a representative at the federal level. You have one at the state level. And when they're doing stuff and they're passing bills and they're not standing by the Constitution and doing the right thing for the people, we need to be at their homes on a Saturday with signs protesting at their homes, letting their neighbors see just what they are.
Yep.
Golly, Neil, you're pretty mean.
I know.
I think that's something that we should learn. We should learn from the left. We should learn from what to do. They're showing us. They come to the homes of people they don't like. I think that's a really wonderful idea, Neil.
Look at how much money we would save. I mean,
sure.
People coming as far as from South Florida to go up to Tallahassee all the time, they have to spend a night there. They have to pay for a room, look at the gas, look at the time. Go to your local representative's home.
Yep.
I think that's a great idea. I love it. I really do.
Yep.
I think that's a great idea. And I think what we really, really, really have to do is pay attention to the state and local people and do whatever we can. It, especially, I don't know in John in Louisiana, but when I looked at the candidates who are running in the state of Florida, I was sick.
Mm-hmm.
Over 60 seats, the people are running unopposed. Do
yeah,
we
and that's more than last year, I believe.
Change
that's election.
Anything? I know. This is horrendous. This is horrific. These people
wow.
have no allegiance to the people. They could care less. They feel that they were anointed. They feel that they're untouchable. Some of them have been in there for 10, 20 years because they flip back and forth. See, there's term limits, but they flip back and forth. So you've been in the House, then you go to the Senate, then you go back
mm-hmm.
to the House, go back to the Senate. So they play games. And by the
well,
time
the people
they're done,
that are- Yeah, but the people that are doing this, and we know these people are corrupt, and we know what they're doing, and there's no one running against them, look and see if there's somebody on the other side, because you're going to get the same results no matter who's in there, but don't let that person that's not listening to you anymore, let them have it.
You know, I think that's why it's so important to meet with your representatives behind the scenes to educate them. That is one of the things that we have really emphasized. We have gone behind the scenes before we've spoken in these various commissions and met with them face-to-face, two or three people, bring them, you know, handouts. We've given whole folders full, an inch thick in some cases. But we just need that massive public education. It's just not in the news. We have very, very little in the news here. So it's just the public education is so hard. People are going about their lives, making a living, raising families, and it is hard, but many of these meetings are held in the evening, in county commissions, or, you know, it's just so important to get out there. This is our time. We may not always have this type of freedom to really, really get out there and speak our, you know, make our voices heard.
Well, you know, Stephanie, that's true. But at the same time, these people, I don't care how busy their schedule is, they have children. That is the utmost, biggest job, biggest responsibility, and should be their biggest concern.
Absolutely.
Because we owe the children that we shall not depart and leave them to bondage and slavery by organized greed. That is the issue.
Well, you have to pack your chamber. The night of every vote with our commissions, we had people lined up around the chamber. We had overflowing in the lobby. We had people in the parking lot. It was like the standing room only, and that's what we need to get this done, to get the votes that we need to get out of these regional commissions.
You're absolutely right, and they are probably the most dangerous. This past weekend, I went to one of the Nature Conservancy meetings. That was a real joy. It's really very sad. The people that are running it, it's very sad because they have no idea what they are putting in place. This was a small local chapter in one of the counties. And the woman that was there started talking, and she said how much property they owned already and how much property they had their eyes on because people were leaving their property to these nature conservancy groups. So I raised my hand and I said, could you explain something to me, please? Because I don't understand how this works. If I have land and I pay taxes on it and you come by and you offer me a conservation easement, what happens to the taxes? And the woman says, oh, well, we're a nonprofit, so we don't pay taxes. I said, oh, okay, but that means that the county loses that tax revenue, doesn't it? And she says, well, I guess so. And I said, well, how does the county make it up? No answer.
Mm-hmm.
They do not think. And then I said, and what happens when your group doesn't have enough money to take care of this land? She said, oh, we have plenty of people. They come from AmeriCorps. I don't know if people realize what AmeriCorps is. But AmeriCorps are the kids who are in debt up to their eyeballs, who can't find jobs and are forced into mandatory volunteerism to work off their debt. And that's indentured servitude. So what are we doing to our kids? And then the most interesting thing, I said, what happens if I pass and I want to leave my land to my kids? I said, how is that affected by the conservation easement? And she says, well, there will be no development rights. That's what you're giving up. You're giving up your development rights. And I don't think people realize that either. So this is they have a whole bunch of well-meaning people that are just being led down this sinister path, which winds up in the same place, loss of liberty and freedom.
Well, yeah. Isn't that a shame? And I guess that's what I'm sitting back and I'm listening, and I guess it's the result, the end result. To forecast, and then I start to visualize, well, what's that going to look like? What will that be? What will it be next year? What will it be in 5 years?
What will it morph into?
Because that's what it's, that's the ultimate goal, we can see the end game because they're not hiding it. These are very emboldened people. And they're emboldened because we're not standing up in protest and outrage. You know,
there are
a handful of patriots, and you ladies are patriots. And I mean, and it's great to share time with patriots. And we get that opportunity because we're all enlightened to the same end goal of these designers. So if we know the end design and we can just get a glimpse of where they're telling us where they're taking us, they're not hiding it.
Yeah,
how is it that our fellow Americans are not standing shoulder to shoulder to turn this back? You know, what if the founding fathers would have decided to say, well, pay the tax. Yeah, go ahead. What do you, don't worry about representing us, King. King George, you do what you want to do. We'll pay the tax. What if that were the case? Because that's what we're doing. That's what we have. We have citizens, and not necessarily the listeners to this show, but there are citizens that every one of us in every walk in life today, tomorrow, you will go and you will be alongside in a grocery store. You'll be alongside at your church. You will be in the same pew next to a citizen that knows something is wrong. This is not right. Things are being done to them. Things are being done to their babies, to their children, and they are not protesting. They're not standing up. They're not taking action. They're not showing up at the meetings. And when they do, if you've got folks, Stephanie, that are showing up and willing to fill up a little room at a meeting, then God love the people of your county, and because that's what this requires.
Yeah.
We have to do that, and we have to do it on not just a county, city, but we've got to do this on a national level. You know, I'm fully intending on being in Washington, D.C. on March 15th or 16th, and I'm not leaving. And until there is action, and that's because I'm dedicated to it, because this is something I can't live with it. I mean, it takes my breath away when I hear all of these corrupt, and you read everything that they're openly, honestly telling us, they're bringing us, and they're giving us. They're not hiding it. How emboldened are they? How brave are they? That they're showing us our future, you know. And yeah, the 50 years out, my behind, we'll be broke by design. Why are they breaking us? It is to accommodate and make this happen on a faster pace than even you and I can fathom. And that's my fear. I really fear what's being done to the economy. I fear what's being done to the taxpayer. Everything that I see says they're stepping up the pace, and they may be stepping it up because of a handful of us, but what would they do if it wasn't a handful? What would they do if it was every single county in this nation had just, let's say every county, how many counties are in America? You know, I'll have to do that research so that I can come up with a number, and we'll put out a number, and how many active people out of every county would it take to walk up to Washington, D.C., or to walk up to the state capitol and say, no more, we're not leaving until you stop this crap. This is not the design of our founders. This is not my representative government. We're tired of your garbage. You know, Neil, I know that you and I have had conversations that we probably can't share on a radio program about where we really need to take them, you know, and sure enough, there will come a point in time to where the indentured servants, the slaves, wake up, and the bondage and the chains are already been shackled to them, and then they may want to start a fire and burn this thing to the ground, you know, and give them, here you go, you want this many million of acres? There it is, buddy, scorched earth. You know, and maybe,
build
you
on
know,
the ashes.
Maybe, there you go, baby. And then also, I go to the point of prayer to where I say, John, you know more than the, you know that God, that there is a God, and that God, the Creator, will have these people answer for their evil, because it's all evil, folks. I am astounded when I hear all of the massive plans that these people put together, and it's like, good, look, you know, do I matter? Do my babies, do my children matter? It's frightening.
Let me break in here for a second, John. I would like to bring to everybody's attention, no matter what state you're in, please pay attention to what is going on in your 2014 ballot. All of the ballots, of course. But Florida has got one, Amendment Number 1. And the environmentalists, the Florida Water and Land Legacy, will give $19 billion to Florida Forever to buy more land and do more permanent easements.
Well, people
that
need to realize, too, only 6% of America is occupied. We have a lot of open space already. There's no shortage of land.
But
not
they
at
want
all.
It all. They want to control the people. That is what this is about, controlling the people.
Yeah.
We don't need a revolution. We need a revelation. We need people to wake up, get down to their city council, get down to the county commission, and most of all, get to your regional planning council.
What do you do at a regional? I mean, I guess is there... You know, who formed the regional? It isn't that what Mr. Shaw? I'm trying to think of what how. He has some neat tools to take these people on and challenge them to where you can even do away with the regional councils altogether, and that's what needs to happen. If it says regionalism, bye bye, you got to go. I don't want any part of it.
that's exactly right, and it's really got to stop with the funding. The funding is what is making all of this happen.
Yeah.
And you're right, John. It's that $85 billion that they're printing to pump in the market, because that's not coming down to the economy. It's not coming down to the people. It's staying in the market so that more of these corporations can come down and create these regional councils and regional programs to steal our rights and property. And that's and then what happens in school is you get a group of kids and you don't teach them economics, you teach them how to bully, and you don't teach them how to do math, you teach them how to have sex. And you don't teach them how to read, you teach them how to do drugs. And by the time they walk out of school, they have absolutely no knowledge of anything except what the government tells them to do. And that's what that Common Core is all about.
Exactly.
How to create a subservient population, how to teach people what to think, not how to think.
Well, they've already got mom and dad are subservient already because they're turning over the children. That's what really, I'm astounded when they had a great forum the other day in on Common Core, right? You know, we're doing it in advance of our legislative session opening up here in Louisiana. We've got a handful of legislators that have really done a great job of educating themselves, and they're going to battle it, and we're going to get some legislation done. But when I look around the room, you know, and you see the clip, and there's 100 people. In the state of Louisiana, 100 people show up to turn back Common Core. What's wrong? Who are they? You know,
shameful.
So are the mamas and daddies have already become brain dead. And so now they're willing just to turn their children over to total indoctrination. You know, I've dumbed you down to the point to where now you will accept my rule over your children to indoctrinate them to meet the workforce demand that I designate, that I see fit. And they won't have any use of their little minds. Their minds will be controlled by us. Wow. And no one shows up?
I know.
What
well, one thing we need to do in our schools, John, is to stop teaching the science myth. We need to up and demand and replace it with the same amount of time teaching the children about our common documents.
Yes.
The U.S. Constitution and everything.
Yes, ma'am.
And this should be a course that they have to pass. And it needs to have that much time devoted to it because these kids are lost.
They
need
right
a
history.
Full course.
Yep. Yep.
I was at the state vote for Common Core last week in Orlando. It was a standing room only. It was packed. They had to open up some sliding doors. John Casey was there. He spoke. It was there were 81 speakers, and it was an pretty much all-day event. It was very heartwarming to see so many parents get up and speak, and there were people that were in tears. I mean, it didn't turn out the way we wanted, it was heartwarming nevertheless.
It didn't turn out. How did it turn out? Tell me that.
Well, they voted to, I guess they revised, I think, 11 of the standards. They, I guess, put back in the cursive and a couple of others. I don't really recall, but they did change some of the standards. They've renamed it like second generation. I don't know. They've renamed it. They're not calling it Common Core anymore. But they voted to keep the standards.
Good communist tactics.
It's pretty much Common Core all the way. But now we are
Let me ask you this. Where did they do that at? Did they do that in Tallahassee?
It was in Orlando.
No.
And they did it. They did it in your state capital?
No, Orlando.
Orlando.
Yeah, Orlando.
Disney World, John, Disney World.
Is that, let me ask you a question. Is that building still standing today?
Well, there were a bunch of us outside with signs, that's for sure.
Let's talk as Americans here. How many people showed up in support of Common Core?
There were two people that spoke. There was one woman that got up and... she said she was a community organizer, and she was a teacher trainer. Yeah, she came out.
She survived.
And another was a gentleman from a taxpayer group. And then the, I think it was superintendent of Orlando Schools. Those were the only three supporters. And the rest were 81 private citizens that got up to speak for 2 minutes is all we had. So,
yeah. Isn't that great when they limit you? They're taking the rights of your babies away from you, and they tell you as a parent, you've got 2 minutes. They would have had to drag me out by my frickin' heels because I'm not. And I've told my legislators over here, I would soon see it all in right now in the state of Louisiana, than to allow this to. It's not going to go forward, and if we don't, so you have a representative government. To where people show up, 81 citizens show up in outrage to stop Common Core. Three useful idiots show up in to support of Common Core, and the state of Florida is going to implement Common Core. Shame on the we have a failed representative government.
We sure do. We sure do. And anybody that votes for those criminals again, and I'll say it. 60 of them are going to go back to Tallahassee because they are going back without opposition. And
then
the people are upset that we have Common Core. I mean, today we just found out that Don Gates, he's the president of the Senate. He refuses to allow a Second Amendment Preservation Act to be heard in the state Senate. He refuses, and he's refusing because he doesn't want the legislators to have to voice their vote on this Preservation Act. He is a criminal, also a supporter of Common Core.
You got his address?
Yes.
We need to start publicizing people like that's address and allow folks to go by and visit with
despicable.
Him.
I can only boil it down.
Despicable.
People are not doing their homework. You know, they are looking at one side of the story or just not looking at all angles. That's the only thing I can, you know, maybe laziness. I don't know. It's just, it blows my mind. You know, if that many people
are being lied to.
You know, they're
being fed a line of garbage. They're being lied to and they're being sold out. These people are freaking criminal. They're criminal. They're not representing us. I can't believe that. I want to cry when I hear that because, trust me, we have done so much work and so much education and provided so many tools to them on the evil that is Common Core. And I'm not talking about the private property rights because, trust me, regionalism, that it is communism. And it's spelled out that way. Look up the two words. But this, Common Core. How much more work could we have done or could you do to enlighten these clowns? And then they go in and they say, well, we're going to change the no, you son of a gun. We're not changing the name of anything. We'll change your name to get out of office. Get the hell out of town, you idiot. You're not representing me.
You know, I think of a child's mind. What more important property is there than your intellectual property?
That's it.
That's right. It's child abuse.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it is child abuse. And especially when you don't let their little minds be creative. For the love of God, you pack them in little uniforms, you pack them in little boxes, and then you tell them, here's what you're going to do on this computer. And when you arrive at the answer that I design, then your mind is acceptable to me. For the love of God, we've proved what they're doing. Son of a gun.
I know. And it gets worse. Because not only are they going to be, they will be mindless, but I was reading the statistics yesterday. In New York City, more black children have been aborted than were born. Think about that.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
And then listen to these people talk about how they must depopulate the planet. And then you look at all of these programs, and they're all going in the same direction. And by the time we're finished, we'll have indentured servants that are incapable of doing anything other than being a bobblehead going, yes, master. So we've come full circle. We've absolutely come full circle. We're going back to what our founders ran from, we are diving into. And the destruction of the military, he'd rather give more money on food stamps, which now they just reported that they're using the food stamp money to buy pot in Colorado. Isn't that nice? Maybe we should have government pot and just make everybody stoned so they won't know what's going on. Because that's really what is happening. So we're paying for all of this, and we're watching it happen. And where are the people? You know, that's the whole thing. Where are the people? When do we stop being the silent majority? The indoctrination is so great. It really is. It's staggering.
You can tell it's right in your face. And most people just will not, I don't know, maybe it will be the healthcare issue that will, you know, wake people up. That's going to hit each and every one of us, you know, up close and personal.
When some of you start dying.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to take.
Who would be responsible? If somebody died because of Obamacare, they weren't covered, they couldn't get their meds. I've heard many stories about that happening to people. They couldn't get the meds that they got before. A friend of mine was on a particular painkiller, and they decided that that's not covered anymore. She shouldn't have that one. Now she's in constant pain. I mean, this is where we're headed, and look what they're doing to that poor girl up in Massachusetts. In Boston Hospital, they took a child away from her parents, and the parents were following a protocol given to them by the doctors, and the parents are being told that that they're unfit parents. I mean, you know,
who does your child belong to?
Well, now they have taken the child and they have given the child to the state.
Yes,
and this child who is now sick because she has not been getting proper medication because they're busy experimenting on her. And that's another thing. They said when the children belong to the state, it is all right for the state to experiment on the child.
Yeah.
We're giving our children up. We're giving our land up. We're giving our country up. And people are...
Well, we're doing exactly what history says that we would do, you know, and that's the one thing. You know, we've moved from apathy, and when we look at the large portion of Americans today that have moved to dependence by design and being forced to be dependent because we've unemployed them in this administration, and in the last administration we've just... You know, so now that we, you know, the next step from dependence is bondage, and history says that. And once we reach bondage, well, then, you know, hopefully we'll all stand united, and maybe we'll have a little outrage, and we'll go back, and from bondage we can become free people again, at least find spiritual faith. And that's the one thing about... all of those history, you know, when you look at history and how it's restored itself and how it dies, you know, how liberty is killed, the one thing that always restores it and brings it back is spiritual faith. You know, we got to have that because then faith is what creates the courage to stand up and say no more. I won't do this any longer. I won't allow you to have my babies. I won't allow you to have my children. I won't allow you to have my property, my sovereign nation. I won't allow you to lie to me any further. And you're going to be honest or you're going to be held accountable. And so hopefully we'll move.
Well, Joe,
and if not, we've got a lot of suffering ahead.
Yeah, this video, I sent it over to Karen, and it's called Big Plantation, the Corporation of the United States. And towards the end of this video, and it is long, but it is so educational, that it even states in there why it used to be our churches used to speak to the people on freedom and everything, and they're no longer doing that. And they mentioned and said in this state, or this tape, that the churches actually belong to the state.
Yes.
Well, once they become a nonprofit, they are giving up their power, and they are accepting, you know, what
that's
the
it.
State
you're
is
right,
telling
Karen.
Them to do.
You're right, Karen. They
have,
You know, Karen and I had a guy call in, I guess, about three or four radio shows back, Richard Villa, and I want to say that my prayers go out to Richard. He is really suffering. He's had some heart issues and been in the hospital for like 16 days. But one of the things that Richard has started as a Black Robe Brigade, to where he is going, and he's such a faithful man and such a good human. He's going locally in Louisiana and surrounding ministers and holding them accountable, that they speak from the pulpit, that they get in the pulpit, and they tell their citizens to prepare yourself to get right, because here's where your country's taking you. And honestly, when I've been with Richard, and he's confronted some of these higher, I guess the large churches in Lake Charles and the ministers, the one thing that becomes clear is they're not going to give up their tax status. they're not going to do anything that's going to endanger them with regards to the government coming in and saying, no, you can't say this from the pulpit. You can't say these things. And it's amazing to me, and I didn't know that, and there was one minister that pointed it out. You know, that's one of the things when you're tax exempt, you listen to the ruler.
That minister is wrong, because didn't we find a letter last year, Neil, that we posted that was from the IRS that said the IRS cannot tell any church what to say?
Yeah.
You know,
that's exactly
that.
What Richard's just... Richard is distributing those in the back of churches.
Yeah, well, definitely. Not only that, but it wasn't an article. This was an actual document from IRS.
Yeah.
I'm telling you,
Richard has gone down to... Richard has gone into back of the churches, and he attends service. He's that kind of guy. And if he knows a single person in there, but the bottom line is he puts that in the back of the church, and he asks the people when they walk out, Do you think that you're getting the message that you need from your pulpit? And let me tell you what, the guy's a dynamite. He's a powerhouse, and that's what we all have to become. You know, we have to be willing to do that. Stand up and say, hey, what you're doing is wrong, you know.
You're right.
But we don't
hey, guys,
have the
we're at the wrap-up time, huh?
Yeah, but we don't have the pastors we used to. We don't have the pastors that, if they really followed Jesus, Jesus didn't need a church.
Right.
He spoke outside.
He didn't need a 501c3. He didn't need a nonprofit.
Well, and listen, how many ordained ministers do we really need? I think that if you share the message of who God is and who Jesus Christ is and what your belief is, that there is a creator, and you're willing to share that message, I don't need to hear it from a pulpit. I can go outside and share that with my neighbor, huh? And
right.
That's what we have to do. We're Americans, and we have to unite behind a commonality that, listen, we will have a restored representative form of government, and that is a Republican form of government, and not the frickin' idiot Republican Party.
Okay, let me make one statement so people need to look at this. In the state of Florida, the Bar Association has 70,000 members. Only 2,800 of them are certified competent.
Oh, my God.
Think about that for a while.
Hey, ladies, we are at our hard break. It was a pleasure, Stephanie.
Thank you so much for coming on with us
and sharing all your work.
Well, I appreciate all that you do, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak on regionalism. It's something we all have to really pay attention to. I think it's one of the biggest issues in our nation that, I don't know, is a very serious issue and deserves a lot of attention.
Please tell everyone your website, Stephanie.
Our website is it's American Coalition for Property Right. Website is ac4pr.org.
Okay, everybody, there is fabulous information on the website. They have done a remarkable job.
Thank you so much.
We really appreciate it, and keep up the good fight. You are a role model for the rest of us, and I tell everyone all the time, this is what happens when people come together and work together, and it is absolutely possible to stop this when you're on the right track of truth and you're working with the same with people who believe in truth.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thanks, all of us. I appreciate what you do, Karen. Thank you all.
Mm-hmm. God bless you.
Yeah, thank you, Stephanie.
Good
Neil, what do you have going on?
Neil, what are you going? Yeah. What are you doing, Neil?
I don't know which direction I'm going in anymore. Well, on the 4th, we have our aquaponics here meeting in Taylor County. On the 8th, I will be going to Lake City to sign up Taylor County for the common law grand jury, and I've already started educating myself on it. And then on the 10th, I will be going over to Madison County, speaking to the Republican Party.
Oh,
I don't think
you.
They understand I'm a libertarian yet, but that's okay. I'll use them. And,
there you go.
I'm going to be speaking on land acquisitions and what's going on in the state, the greenways, and, of course, Amendment Number 1.
Good. Thank you, Neil. Thank you. And John?
Yes, ma'am.
Good night. And it has been a pleasure as always.
And God bless you.
Yes, ma'am, dear. It has been. Hey, now listen, guys. Next Tuesday, I'm going to be at a Mardi Gras parade, so I may be a little bit busy. And then after that, we're going to have to talk. I'm fixing to make a boat ride from Singapore to South Africa. So I may be out of pocket for at least a month, huh?
Oh, my goodness. Well, we will certainly.
Well, nothing like piracy on the high seas.
Yes, you'll come back with some really good stories because we'd love to see what's going
on over there. If you find a place where they're not doing regionalism and Agenda 21, let us know.
Let us know.
All right, ladies. Hey, God bless America, and God bless you ladies for everything that we're doing, huh?
Thank you, John.
Take care.
All right.
And good night. Good night,
right,
everyone.
Bye.
Good night. God bless America.